The keynotes and based Tfila Yona Avraham, Tisha B'Av Tavshin Ayin Dalet. We'll start with the first kina, which is Vav, Tisha B'Av morning. In Jewish life, in halachic life, Torah life, so in various situations and events and commemorations, so there's a protocol of how to act. We're happy on Yom Tov, and Halacha tells us how to be happy. And we're sad the 3 weeks, the 9 days, and Halacha tells us how to be sad. We're happy at a chasana. Torah tells us how to be happy. Halacha tells us how to be happy. We're sad with Avela sometimes, and Halacha tells us how to act. And there's really two ways of that dynamic. There's two ways to view that. One way is that I'm truly happy, I'm truly sad, the emotions are there, and adarabah, they're raw, and Halacha comes along and tells us how to channel it. You don't want to do too little, certainly you don't want to do too much. This is overboard, this is inappropriate, this is the way you should act. So we have those emotions. They're not a problem. It's not a problem for someone to be happy at a wedding. It's not a problem for someone to be crying at an avelus. And there the Halacha channels us. Keeps us honest, keeps us... This is the way Hashem, Halacha, the Torah, wants us to manifest, to express our heartfelt emotions. But sometimes it works the other way. I read a letter a few weeks ago that Rabashkin, what's his name? Shalom Mordechai Rabashkin, wrote someone. He's in jail now a few years. And he writes to someone how he has a daily exercise where he walks around. There's a courtyard there. And he walks around and he circles it, and that's his exercise. And he says the first year or two, he would close his eyes, or at least mentally close his eyes to where he was, and he would remember other walks he took. He would remember strolling with his family, going on walks on Shabbos, on Yom Tov, trips on Chol HaMoed, and he would try to put himself there so as not to feel the ache of where he was. But he says that the years went on, he couldn't, and he writes this, he says, look, I stopped being able to summon up the vision, the hergish of that other walk. And I started remembering, oh, last year I walked around this courtyard and this is how I was. And 2 years ago I walked around this courtyard and that's how it was. And now, and that was his memories. He says, my memories are now walking around this very same courtyard. And I can't, it's fading away. And that's when you forget. Imagine a child that's born and he's a cholet and he's in a hospital, a wonderful hospital. He's put in an infant's ward and it's very, very bright colors, clowns on the walls, a crib like worthy of a prince. You know, kids don't get such cribs. Comfortable, big, enough to crawl around in, to explore. And every once in a while, a clown actually comes into the room. And the child's happy. The child's happy. Once in a while, these strange people come in with white coats. And they prick him. And they hurt him. And they poke him. And they cause him pain. And every once in a while, he feels a general sense of malaise, of pain. Something's wrong. He's an infant. What does he know? He's happy where he is, and he doesn't know of anything better. An adult, though, walks into that room and cries. An adult knows that this child belongs at home. This child has a loving home waiting for him. This child, Mitzvah Hashem, has a future where he won't be poked and won't be stabbed. And he has a loving parents, loving siblings, and a whole life is waiting out there for him. And that's happiness. That's what life is. The child now, lo shaychus. So there's two ways, right? In the first years after the Churban, perhaps the first decades after the Churban, before the first scores of years after the Churban, slowly, Avelus Yeshana. The Gemara calls it Avelus Yeshana. The Gemara doesn't pull any punches. The Gemara says it's just not the same. Manomar Anachnu. We're like the child in the hospital room. Our lives are gay, bright colors, clowns, we're happy. But an adult looking in knows what awaits us, knows what could be, knows what a full life is all about. And so we have to use the next few hours, at least. We should have used the 3 weeks, should have used the 9 days, should have used Eicha last night, fasting. At least the next few hours, let's use it in the other way. If I don't know how to be happy, I don't feel happy. The Torah says, do this. We use the halacha to create the feelings, not to channel the natural feelings we have. But sometimes nebuch, unfortunately, sadly, but it's a koach the halacha has also, to create the feelings. And so with Miss Abel, we sit on the ground, we say kinos, we listen to the wonderful explanations that have been prepared, we say them slowly, and we should try to summon up within us some sense of loss, because we don't have it. With the child in the hospital room, at best we're like Rabashkin, whose memories maybe fading away over the years. So let's use the next few hours to create those feelings within us, to feel a sense of loss, to feel that we're not living life the way a Torah life is supposed to be lived. What I said on Shabbos from Rabbi Rucham about Eretz Yisrael is certainly true. He wasn't even talking about the Beis HaMikdash, he was talking about Eretz Yisrael. But it's certainly true about the Beis HaMikdash, how sad it is if we feel that Yecholim Lehistader without the Beis HaMikdash. You know, full Jewish life, Torah, Chesed, Tefillah, it's not true. Our lives are inherently flawed and chaser and missing, and that's what it's all about. It's all about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's manifest presence in a bias, right? Hashem made up the term Beis HaMikdash, I guess. This is his ma'on, this is his shechina, this is where he shochein. Such a powerful presence among us, and how to serve him. And we don't have that. So let's try to create those feelings of mourning. And I was thinking the halacha is, we sent it around this past Shabbos, there's a specific halacha, you're not supposed to walk outside during kinos. I assume it means to relax or to take a break. I guess if you mamish need to, maybe do it within the Beis Medrash, within the shul, not to walk out. Because there's an azhara not to be mesiach das. That's really the point. Not to be mesiach das from the kinos. Even you know, we should do it a whole day, and we do it till Chatzos, we go over past Chatzos, because we're creating a feeling. You know, if it's just a manifestation of how we feel, so you go outside, you take a break. What's wrong? You feel that way anyway. We feel the right way, so I'm taking a break from expressing it. No, because we're summoning up those feelings, we're creating them, and a break is a break in my efforts to lose myself and to try to have that sense of loss and mourning and avelus. I want to point out the first kina. Well, first, I believe I say this every year. If not, I should. Just in general, the Mesillas Yesharim and Perek Yutes, when he talks about being Misabel on the Golus and on the loss of the Beis HaMikdash, he says a person asks, who am I? What difference does my Avelus make? What difference does my Tfilos make? Will that ultimately result in what we're looking for? My Ani, Umani Sofon, what importance do I have? Shespalel al Agolos val Yerushalayim, Hamitnei Tfilosi Yechunsu Hagolius v'titzmach HaYeshua. And the Mizl Sharim answers, interesting, he says, well, first of all, his main answer is that this is Nachas Ruach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants every individual to experience that loss, that sense of loss, that feeling of loss, and to feel something's missing and to daven for it. And then so that's the Ratzon Hashem. And you say, okay, that's an answer. You know, I understand that answer. It's a chiyuv. You know, maybe I'm not accomplishing, maybe I am accomplishing, I don't know. But it's an obligation. But he makes a different point, really, as he says that. He says, and that's what it's all about. It's all about kavod shemayim. It's all about the kavod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what a person should be mechaven. As I'm doing the Ratzon Hashem and I'm being marbe that much kavod shemayim by doing his will, and that's what the golus is really mainly about, or should be. We should think about the loss of kavod shemayim and the loss of the kavod hashchina and the chilul Hashem involved. But then he says, and it's also equally important, he says, when you think about the tzaras of Klal Yisrael, you have to realize Shahre I Efshar Lakovod Ho Elyon Lehisrabos Ella Beguloson Shal Yisrael Uberivui Kavodom Shazet Toloi Bozeh Be'emes. Any hashpala of the Jewish people, and it's important we know this, we talked about it a few Shabbosim ago about Nekoma. Any hashpala of the Jewish people is a hashpala of Kavod Shemayim. It's not the individual. Maybe the individuals aren't as frum as we'd like them to be. Maybe they're frumer than we are. Maybe they're not frum. But it's the Jewish people. And when it's the Jewish people, Kavod Shemayim cannot be restored until Kavod Yisrael is restored. So when we daven to be brought back, and the Golia should be Niskapets, and Niskapets, we should have kibbutz golius in a way that's kavod shemayim, in a way that's kiddush Hashem, in a way that's meromein the kavod of the Jewish people, and then because that's the kavod Hashem, that's the rectification of the chilul Hashem. So on one hand, we try to relate to the kavod shemayim, but it's okay to talk about all the tzoros of the Jewish people, all the pogroms and all the killings and all the golias and all the things we'll be reading about in kinos, when we remember, because that is kavod shemayim. And maybe we have to realize it's not about us. We're not fighting for a country. We're not fighting for a seat in a committee on the United Nations. It's kavod shemaim. Doesn't matter with. You should please not misunderstand what I'm saying. Frumkeit doesn't matter. That's not the point. It's the Jewish people represent kavod shemaim. And if we have that in mind, maybe we would relate to things differently. The first kina is just a brilliant piece of poetry that weaves all of the prakim of Eicha within its lines. I mean, you could sit and study this kina. If we would do that, at least for an hour. I mean, the way this line is the third perek, and this line is the fourth perek, and this line is the fifth perek, and it just sums up the whole Eicha in a just a brilliant piece of poetry. Rabbi Elazar HaKalir. I'll just point out two lines, and then we'll start the kina. Something that we can relate to, unfortunately, because we're living it. The second line says, "Chi u'ma'os ha'simuni be'edrei chaverai." Amongst the nations of the world, we are considered garbage. We're considered a degradation, a lowly piece of filth. You say, wow, maybe by the Chur, but nowadays, read the paper, open the radio, look around what's happening, and the Jew is a mockery, is a schiu maos, and we're more than be'edrei cheveirai, where the nations of the world get together. So we await the reversal of that situation, and thereby attain kavod shemayim as well. And the next to the last paragraph, I call you. I'm sorry. The paragraph says, "Ato kalim hichbadti ta umeedja ermuni karosi liyoshve givon od heim zeremuni." I called out to the Yoshve Givon, who I had a treaty with them. I made a treaty with them. Givon, the Givonim. And Od Haim Zeremuni. They drowned me. Koli Lashmiya Ba'arov, my cousins. Igrimuni. They crushed me. Kumi Avori Bahasel Herimuni. Karosi Lamahavai. A very powerful pasuk. Echa. Karosi l'ma'avai heima rimuni. The Jewish people has no friends. And we must say, Baruch Hashem, we see that now. We see that. Our friend, our Reya, you want a friend? Open a Shir Hashirim and read Shir Hashirim, and you'll see who the Jewish people's friend is. Karosi l'ma'avai heima rimuni. And if we've experienced that in our lifetimes, now, last week, last month, last year, that could only help us in being mechaven for Kavod Yisrael, Kavod Shemayim, and the rectification of all these problems with the end of the Golos and the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash and the Haromas Keren Yisrael Bagoyim, which is the Haromas Kvod Hashem. Shavasu Romani Shimuni Ovrai.
So when we think of those things that we're suffering from now, and we think of the suffering of the people who've had losses, and then we look at the faces of the people who won't recognize it, and talk about our wicked, genocidal, etc., etc., and we just can't get out what should be said, it's really not really, or we can't tell ourselves that it's not really important what they think. So we have this pasuk. Yirmiyahu Navi said, "Mi ten roshi mayim." Who could make it that my head would be all water? There's so much in there to pour out and it'll refill and pour out again, and I just can't get it out, and I have no place to get it out. So this kina is learning that message of how to say that in a lot of ways. And all these alephs here, I will, I will, I will, they don't just mean I will, like future tense aleph. They mean I wish I would, I could, I should, but I can't. And if that's all we can say, that's who we're saying. So the first stanza is, I took shemayim, that's a rare word for flying up. I want to fly up with these feelings to the vault of the heavens, to the peak. And when I get there, a'aleph, iti shemayim, like a'aleli, I want to make them all cry with me. Someone should feel what's inside me that I can't get out. And the third stanza is, when it says egda, I will be cut up, it doesn't just, the aleph doesn't just mean I will be cut up. I want to show people how cut up, well, not people, I don't know who I'm going to show. I want to show Hashem how cut up I am. The an aleph of enoshel, and I will drop, doesn't mean I want to show all the boys that I dropped. And I want to schlep with me all the rest of my bnei basis, my family, all the yidden. And I want to cause that the balabais, Hashem should say, and this is a pasuk, Arosheh, Hashem says, I wish that I had, could give Rishus, me itnei Nisham Rishayas, and I want also to trample those enemies of yours. And the next aleph also, Adver, I wish I could show the pain and weakness with my whole heart, and that would make it that Hashem would show himself to me. Eda milin, I wish I knew the words bom lamseo, to give Hashem the strength to do what he said in that pasuk before. And this stands at the end of the pasuk of Eov, mi ten yadati demtzeihu, who would make it that I would know how to find him to lay my mishpat before Hashem. Yov wanted to lay his mishpat in front of Hashem. The next stanza also ends with a pasuk from Yov. Etzach, I cry out, mi tein eifo v'yakosven mili. My words that I want to lay before Hashem, I want them to be written down, because I want them to make an impression. So all these stanzas are saying that I wish, there are two ways I'm coming to Hashem. One is just Hashem is a Rachma. And if we could get out and show how our suffering and express it, he'd be Rachma. Because he also feels bad about it. And also, sometimes you come with Mishpat. You have something to say. I have a point. And all the things we create in our davening, all the cases we say to ask for what we want. And they're both good ways to come to Hashem. And if we do that, what we learn from all these things are that Hashem wants us to tell him how we feel. And if we can't get out how we feel, he wants us to tell him that. And if we're not as literal as the people who wrote the Kinnis, we should say that. But we should keep trying to tell him how we feel. And so the last stanza, Hashem says to us, I also feel bad. May I come up more? Hashem feels bad for us too, if we're showing that we feel bad. Adad kok shemayim aleidi shemayim or yom
Mayadim in the Jewish calendar are not about commemoration. Every Mayad in the Jewish calendar is really a component of the constitution of what's supposed to be our consciousness all throughout the year. Each Mayad has a specific lesson that it's coming to teach us that really we're meant to carry all throughout the year. It's just that the Mayad is a concentrated injection. That's what Shimon Pinkus once noted. He said, as a kid, I found it funny that whenever you hear a darshan talking about a certain moyed, he makes it out to be, this moyed is the most fundamental element of Yiddishkeit. Talking about Hanukkah, Hanukkah is the yisoid of everything. Then Shavuos time, you hear a drush, and Shavuos becomes the yisoid of everything. said, as a kid I found it funny, until as an adult I found myself doing the same thing. Each moyed that he spoke about, he suddenly found himself turning into the fundamental moyed of Yiddishkeit. Until he said, the truth is it isn't funny, it's true. If you have a medical convention, and the neurologist, the representative of the neurologist gets up and stresses the vitality of the brain and how that's the most fundamental organ of the body. And then the cardiologist talks about the heart in the same way. Is it a conflict? No, both are true. You can't underestimate, you can't understate the importance of either one. So that's why it's true. Each moed is the most fundamental and vital component of the Jewish consciousness. And Tisha B'Av, the 3 weeks, the 9 days Tisha B'Av, is a part of this system. It's also a moed. It's also a moed. And in a way, it's even more so. Because the other moyadim are coming to hammer in a certain element of consciousness. The main avoida of each of the moyadim is to integrate the point that's being made. Whereas with Tisha B'Av, we're being put to the test. Being Tisha B'Av, we're not just being told, understand something, realize something, learn a certain lesson. In Tisha B'Av, we're being told to grieve. You can't just decide to grieve one day. Grieving has to come against a certain background. You have to have reason to grieve. And therefore, in Tisha B'Av, basically, in a way, what we're being told is, have you learned all the lessons that Yiddishkeit has come to teach? If you have, you should be able to grieve today. Or in other words, put it more simple, Tisha B'Av in a way is the barometer, is the test of where we really stand with our relationship with Hashem. The truth is that we see this in the fact that, yes, all the Mayadim manifest.